a very dedicated and devoted member, dawned and spoke some understanding upon me about how being in church, there can be skepticism, suspicion, and doubtfulness. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Again, I must say it was a very dedicated, a very devoted member, like a, you know, here every week. Matter of fact, you might even receive ministry from them. Are you with me? Amen. And one of the things that they shared in a testimonial form is that there is this, sometimes this tendency, which made me aware that sometimes we can be sitting in the midst of church or in the midst of a message or even in the midst of a song, and there might be some skepticism, some suspicion over what might be being said. Are you with me? Can we make up our mind today for our own good to open up our own hand and heart? Are you with me? In other words, Moot could not, that's normal, thank you, sir. But if I wanted to get something in his hand, put something in his hand.
Wait, really?
Yeah, try. Okay, my hand is balled up, right? And how many understand if your hand is balled up or if your heart's balled up, you can't receive anything in it? That made sense, right? So I'm just going to ask of us today, can we open up our heart and can we open up our hand possibly to God? Are you with me? As this handout comes out around to you, I would like to open up my hand and open up my heart about it. This particular handout that you're receiving today, please don't get too fixated on it or focused on it. It's not for the message today. What it is it is an example of the sincerity of our heart to really want to find us growing in the knowledge of God. Amen. Are you with me? What I mean by that is, you know what? These Sunday services are just simply briefings. I think maybe the next slide says that. I'm not sure. But these Sunday services are just briefings, and they're not necessarily have a full capacity in the short period of time that we spend together for us to receive everything needed to really grow in Christ. And therefore, I'll say it this way. Look at this up on the screen. Knowledge comes from studying. Are you hearing me? And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we need both of them to gain in our confidence that God will do what he said he will do. Amen. Are you with me? We need to have our faith increased. See, I asked y'all not to read, and some of y'all still reading. I promise you all are going to take that home. It's yours. You can have, you can study it one page a day. It's like 6 pages. It's not even a complete series, but it's everything related to Amen. Are you with me? So what I like to do is, for instance, knowledge, and you know, knowledge comes from studying, right? And so it says this, for instance, to study is, did you realize that faith is not only for receiving, but faith is also for removing mountains, right? Mark chapter 11, wait a minute, I promise you, you don't need to stay with me. Faith is not just for receiving. Come on, do these motions with me. Faith is not just for receiving, right? But faith is for also moving mountains. Isn't that what Jesus taught us? He says, have faith in God. If you say to this mountain, that's right, be uprooted and be cast into the sea. How many understand? Maybe we need a translation. Some of us got mountains in our lives. Amen. And they don't need to be received further. Amen. You don't need the gold or the diamonds or whatever else might think you might be in the mountain. We need something to remove the mountain from our lives. You see, faith is not just for getting stuff. Faith is for removing some stuff.
Amen. That's right.
Turn to your neighbor and say, faith,
faith
is for removing
the mountains in our lives.
Praise the Lord. My hope in Christ for the handout is, while Sundays are just briefings of what study and understanding can do to help our unbelief. In other words, we want you to have knowledge that you can study on your own. All the scriptures are there. You can just put this away in your car, put it in your book bag, eat your little lunch. You know, how many understand right around this time you might just be eating ramen noodles. You don't even have like vegetables and chicken to put in it, right? You're just eating ramen. Can I get any help up in the college section? Are you, or can I? All right, I'm just checking. Ramen be on sale. You got that right, amen. So we want to help our unbelief, and everybody said amen.
Amen.
So today, from beginning to end, and before and after, here's what this diagram represents. And I was going to draw it, but it's not that significant, so I just put it on the screen for you to kind of follow. Today, we're starting at Amman. But for the first time, maybe in as clear a visual form you can see it, Amman is comprised of our belief and our faith. Within Amman is our believing and our faith. Say that with me. In our Amman is our believing and our faith. So today we're going to start at Amman, but I want to share something with you. We're going to end in amen. Did you catch that? So the whole middle section is that from Amman to amen, you remember what one of the definitions was to persuade by words, right? So we're hoping, cross run, is to do some preaching today. Some preaching that is going to persuade you. And for y'all who are visual, how many understand that makes a cross? Praise God. I want to share with you some very bold biblical truth, very bold and biblical truth. It's not every Sunday that I do this, but I went out my way intentionally and invited people out, and maybe some friends invited some people out. I didn't put it on Facebook or anything like that, but I'm so grateful that you're here. I believe God wants to do something incredibly special. Amen? Amen. Or this is actually amen. So what we want to do is look at the definition of amen. Amen, as we kind of went through it last week, is like verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, right? You're going to love this definition. Please, students, plug in. Get your pens and papers out. Students, disciples, people that need what Christ has for you, this is going to be, I pray, excellent for us, okay? Look at this. The definition is this. At the beginning, when amen is used at the beginning of a discourse, it means surely, truly, or of a truth. So when Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, you already know it's going to be a? You already know it's going to be a what? Because he already told you it's going to be a truth, right? So then, therefore, in the beginning, we understand it means surely, truly, or of a truth. But when it's at the end, it means so it is or so be it. May it be fulfilled. It was a custom which passed over, get this, from the synagogues to the Christian assemblies, that when he who had read or discoursed had offered up a solemn prayer to God, the others, say that's us, the others responded by saying what?
Amen.
How many understand that's just not an American of African descent church? Y'all didn't catch that one. Y'all scared. Y'all scared. Y'all didn't want to say amen. Listen. In other words, what they said all the way back then was they said amen and thus made, look at this, this is why we say it, and thus made the substance of what was uttered their own. So when you plead in and say so be it, or when you plead in after something just got preached and you say amen, you're making it your own. Is everybody with me? You made it your own. The word amen is most remarkable word. It was transliterated directly from the Hebrew into the Greek of the New Testament, then into Latin and into English and many other languages, so that it is practically a universal word. It has been called the best known word in human speech. That's powerful. The word is directly related, in fact, almost identical to the Hebrew word believe or aman. You see, it's an M on the end there. It says, or faithful. It came to mean sure or truly, an expression of absolute trust and confidence. When we say amen, so be it, verily, verily, truly, trust, reliability, adhere to, we're saying that Jesus, we are clinging to you, and we have 138% of confidence in you. Praise the Lord. Today's message is called Amen to the Lamb. Jump up on your feet right quick. Come on, jump up on your feet right quick. This is our prayer today. We're not going to have a long prayer today. I need you to find two or three people, give them a high five, and say amen to the Lamb. You want to do that? Come on, find three people, say amen to the Lamb. Amen to the Lamb. Thank you. Amen to the Lamb. Amen to the Lamb. You may be seated. Pow. Amen to the Lamb. Say it again.
Amen to
now say it like you mean it.
Amen.
That's what I meant, Tynez. I meant some neck rolling, some, you know, get into it. Get, make it your own. Amen to the Lamb. Are you with me? Notice these pictures that are up here. They help us in this particular message. You see, Yeshua, the Hebrew word for Jesus. Yeshua, coming from the word Joshua. Joshua, once you translate it from the Greek and into English, it's Jesus. So Yeshua, this is the Passover lamb. In other words, this whole concept of a lamb comes from the Old Testament. It comes from a jurisdiction that was necessary to find justification or sacrifice was the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb of Exodus, when the death angel would pass over the children of Israel and they struck the firstborn male throughout all of Egypt. But wherever there was blood over the threshold and over the doorpost, that angel passed over from death. Are you with me? Though it may be a small bit of gory or not, but it's really artistic in essence. But when you look at this other one and you may think it's just blood, but it's not, it's really of the world, meaning the Lamb, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the whole world. Are you hearing me? When you look at this other one, it talks about redeemed by Jesus. You see a cute little lamb off to the side. Then on the next picture, you see these three symbols and articles. He himself are holding the two symbols of who he embodied, both in himself, the line of Judah and yet the Lamb of God. Here within one man, say one man. Just like any husband, just like any male man, just like any person aspiring to be who they are designed to be, is that you've got to learn and know how to be a lion and you've got to know how to be a lamb. So therefore, in the same capacity, we have to become that. But the one I love also off to the left hand corner is the one that shows the lamb standing, having seven eyes and seven horns. This lamb. Here you see again this prophetic word about when the kingdom of God is in its full manifestation, where the lion and the lamb will be at peace with one another. Here, right there in the middle, you see amen. And then off to the side, you see worship. So in these particular pictures, they explain or they depict the message in which we are furthering. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Genesis 15, verse 6 says, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. God shifted his attention outside the tent and off of his wants. God shifted his attention. Therefore, God wants to get us to shift our attention off of our wants and get it off of our wishes and to do what? The next one says, how did he do it? Because God gave him a vision. God wants to always be interacting and involved with our lives to the degree where he gives us a vision for our lives. Are you with me? I love the contrast of how Brother Gene, a master's degree student, even from a university abroad, and here he is speaking to those graduating in varying degrees, realizing that this is contrast. There's this celebration, but there's also this piercing of being prepared for what's to come. Does that make sense? This is way too practical today. So what we're dealing with is God wants to give us a vision. Beginning, what happened to Abram is this. This is the beginning and the Bible of the Old Testament of the first mention of the word what? Believe. Or aman. This is the first time it's mentioned about believing. Now, certainly we know that this is not the first time where any individuals were believing, like Noah or even Adam for that matter. But this is the first time the word was used, believe, or the word aman. Not only that, ooh, that's some absolutely not good spell checking, but believed the Lord. If you don't walk away with any other message, this whole series, please walk away knowing that our belief is in God. So therefore, the Bible says that he believed the Lord. Again, it was counted or credited to him as righteousness. This again is the first time that the Bible uses the word righteous. It goes from me having a son to now me being righteous. Are you with me? So therefore, the righteousness is this, a right relationship with God. No matter what is going on in our lives, if we have a right relationship with God, whatever else will be trumped by our relationship with God. Yeah. That right? No matter what we're going through, it could be an alone time, it could be a painful time, it could be a hurting time, it could be a celebrating time, it could be a vision casting time. But if my relationship with God is intact, how many understand God with me is more than the whole world against me? Amen. So righteousness in that relationship. Romans chapter 10. Now notice this. In essence, Abram received salvation in an Old Testament manner. Are you with me? In a Genesis or before the law manner. He himself was not Semitic or Jewish at the time. He himself is receiving salvation, Old Testament, receiving salvation. By what? By doing what? By what? By believing. Are you with me? Now we're going to go to something a lot more familiar with all of us. This is Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. This is the primary essence of understanding salvation. Salvation is understood by these two components. They give it to us, and that is believing in our hearts and confessing with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that simplicity is our salvation. Is everybody with me? It says here that believing takes place in our heart. This is hugely important. Believing does not take place with our hands. Believing takes place with our what? And guess what? No matter how good we are, no matter how deep we are, we really do not know what is on the inside of each other's hearts. The Bible says man judges the what? Outward appearance, but God judges the. That's why God puts it both. One, I know what's going on in your heart, and now I want you to let men know with your mouth of what's taking place in your heart. Here's an important point, because many of us are police Christians. Yeah, but you know, people be lying. And that's why we don't make any accreditation of righteousness. Only God does. Because God knows what's absolutely in the heart. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Believing takes place where? A Bible teacher I was listening to this week said it as well. Believing is the single use of God into all the rest of the things of God. All the rest of the promises of God, you come into them by believing. Everything else that you could even remotely dream, imagine, think of, desire, right now, the way that you enter into them is by what?
Believing.
Is by what?
Believing.
Everybody, is by what?
Believing.
Believing. Very good. So let's look at 2 Chronicles 20:20. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem." Read the rest of it with me. Ready, said, read. "Believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe his prophets and you will succeed." And everybody said, praise God. Three times is the Hebrew word aman used. We see it believe, we see it be established, and we see it, notice what I put, believeth. And the reason I put the word believeth is because of the excellent teaching of Dr. Thompson, who said that eth means it's continuous. Right? Say eth is continuous. So what I want to differentiate here is this. Believe in the Lord your God. That gets you started. But when you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe in the Lord, it ought to establish you.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
I'm on this side now. Oh, my fault, dude. Nope. Can't do that. Man, sorry. Oh, man, yeah. No. Right?
Yep.
Right? Oh, girl, I just can't. Nope, not doing that. Right? I mean, I just said you got to get a nope in you. Thank you. Amen. So what I'm trying to say is now I'm established. Now I got to keep on believing. Because some of us have been erroneously taught that once I'm in, I'm in. But how many of you understand? Listen, how many understand? There's got so much more. You just got in. You want all the goodies now. Oh, hello. I love the analogy, right? When, you know, if you're a child, many of us I don't want to go in there. Anyway, you're a child and you know, you got all this stuff in the refrigerator, right? And you don't go get it, right? You're just like, man, sure does look, man, I wish I could have some of that yogurt in there. Ooh, I don't know whose steak that is in there. Not going to eat that. I might get in trouble. No, we are children of God. Listen, my children don't ask any questions about what they can eat. Now they might get a beat down. Just playing. Come on. I'm sorry. It's a joke. It's to keep them active, honey. I'm sorry. Right, but the issue is this. Children don't ask. When you've given your children liberty, they don't ask. They just know it's parts of theirs. I'm a part of mommy and daddy. Therefore, it's a refrigerator. And what's in the refrigerator? Owned to my mom and daddy. And if it belonged to my mom and daddy, it belonged to me. And we've got to begin to get that attitude. I belong to the Father, the Most High. Therefore, if there's a promise in the kingdom of God, I likewise can go in and get it whenever I need it. But they say adopted children have difficulty because it struggles with them to believe that it's ever theirs.
Say it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Notice it says you will succeed. AJ, you see it says succeed, right? Some versions say prosper, right? Prosper or succeed. Now many of us want to jump to the end, right? But we had to go through three amans. You've got to go through three amans before you get to prosper and succeed. So it's okay to understand that you're still developing, you're still growing. Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. Now, please hear me because we're going to start honing in here. People who have, and please don't push back and say that's not you. Because some of y'all, when we talk privately, you recognize and you identify yourself as being one of the haves, sometimes in a church of those that may not have. So please hear me. The haves, say the haves.
The haves.
The haves have had or have learned how to move past the pain. Instead of you being jealous of people, instead of you being envious or think they got it good, please know that everyone living has experienced pain. And therefore, you have to understand, you don't know what's going on in that house. It might be big, but you don't know what's going on. Yes, that's a pretty car, but you don't know how far it might be on gas or payment. You better stay on Side Ride and be happy. Get you a bus schedule. I know that's right. I'll get you some new shoes. Listen. People go from difficulty, damage, like in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Some area in life. But they, people that have, people you look up to, they have had to heal, become strong and courageous, and discipline in order to have. Is everybody with me? Here's another point. And by God's grace, they have stuck out their hand of believing and faith to receive. Faith does not pressure God to do anything. Faith is not a doctrine in itself, like, oh, I got faith, you better. No. God, your grace, my hand is open to receive from your grace. Is everybody with me? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. This is again the word believeth, right? But that believeth again gets you righteousness just like it did Abraham. Do you remember that? Good job, sister. So therefore, the believing enters into righteousness. And it says it's revealed. Therefore, even though we have faith, we can gain, we can grow in faith because it goes from faith, for faith, and to faith. There's more faith to grow in, and the more faith or the more bigger your hand gets or the more you open up your hand, the more you learn how to catch the stuff. You know, like one of those games. Now, I don't play a lot of games and stuff like that, but you know how those games where you got to go back and forth and catch apples and bananas and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know what? You get better at that game, don't you? Y'all trying to play like y'all don't play those games. In the same manner, we've become faith oriented to be able to receive from the things that are from God's grace. Praise the Lord. It says to live as in John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, but get this. Jesus came for life and it abundantly. And the revelation is it comes by believing faith. It comes by believing faith. All right. So now we want to go into this text, please, for those who have been distracted. Let's look here. 1 John chapter 5, it says this. I think it's powerful that Gene was quoting all these scriptures, having no idea where we're going. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not what? That's just a reminder. Serving God is not burdensome. Living right is not burdensome. Verse 4 and 5. Interesting. For everyone who has been born of God does what? Come on, say it out loud. It's real important. The world, and this is the victory that has the world. It is our faith. Now, I'm going to repeat verse 4 and verse 5 again because it's from this particular text that you really want to engraft something, glean it, and stow it on the inside of your spirit. It says this, for everyone who has been born of God does what? The world. And this is the that has the, it's our, What overcomes the world? Our faith. Look at this. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who what? That Jesus is the Son of God. You know what? That's shouting material right there. It's anyone that believes and has faith overcomes the world. And I hope that qualifies for everybody in this room and your family too, because you just got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have faith in him. And you, my friend, brother and sister, you become the one that overcomes the world. What overcomes? Believe and faith. And believe and faith, remember the triangle, is Aman. So we understand that it comes by Jesus. It comes by who? So please stay with me. Beautiful picture. John 16, 33. I have said these things to you, that in me, where?
In me.
You may have. In the world, you will have, one more time, in the world, you will have. You see, Pastor Jeremy, at least at the college, at the collegiate midweek organism, we entered into a long conversation. I can't do it here right now, but I'm telling you, this one point, your professor or your friend that was a professor, she brought this verse out, and she says, how come we don't have this on stickers on our refrigerator? She says, how come we don't see people running, driving around with this on their bumper sticker, right? Yeah, we see overcoming, but you know what? It says what? In the world, you will have what? You know what? And sometimes I don't know if we're reading the full gospel like we say. I think sometimes we're still reading partial gospels. Are you hearing me? But Jesus says in the world, we will have tribulation. Now, I want to just remind you that she said, you know what? This is a promise too, because he said, in the world, you would have tribulation. Now, we call it life. I don't call it life because Jesus says, I am life. And I'm going to say, Jesus is not tribulation. But in the world, you will have what? Tribulation. What I want to talk about for just a half a second here is painful problem and why you've been invited to this particular message on this semester end message, and on this particular message that has the power, I pray, to do something that 10 years hasn't been able to do. Please listen. This message is for soul sickness, heart aching people who have not been able to successfully let go of the pain. People that are hurt by offenses wronged against them. Expressions that have so harmed them that they have marred even while in the hand of God the Father. That's Old Testament scripture. I didn't make that up, right? The potter was on, had a clay article, a vessel on the wheel, and the Bible says that the vessel marred while in the potter's hand. There are people in this room that you felt like you've been in God, you've been in Christ, you've been in church for many, many years, and yet and still you feel like you're still falling apart. Mm-hmm. This message are for those that have been raped, for those that have been incarcerated. Did you realize that 33% of all boys are sexually abused? One out of three. Betrayal. You might have felt like you've been betrayed, vacated. Souls from divorce, you're divided and you feel dead. Many of us are in a syndrome I call Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. He had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty back together again. And we find ourselves still broken, all off the wall. But how many understand, as that nursery rhyme goes, the king didn't do it. Because the king can put us back together again. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You see, what we're talking about here is people that are hurting. It says this, like you've never felt loved. It's people that might be in here that to some degree you've gone through life like trying to get pregnant. And now what lingers on the inside of you is something wrong with me. We're talking about people that are like big brothers, like the prodigal son. In other words, we always preach about the prodigal son, but sometimes we might feel like the older brother, where I'm doing everything right and nobody's celebrating me. And therefore, that bitterness and that anger binds on the inside of you. But of course, you can't say anything about it because you're a goody two-shoes. You're a religious relationship, righteousness, speaking in tongue, prophet. And you now can't admit it necessarily. But deep down inside, you're still doing everything you can to get over it and get rid of it. And how many understand you can only fake being nice for so long? You ever wonder why things just burst a flame? And you say, you know, it's okay. It's okay. Remember I said crying means life is in the church. Amen. Some of y'all mouth open. Y'all not saying anything. At least the baby's saying amen. You see, I want to talk about people that are still dealing with addictions. It's not just you. Could be the people on your row. It could be the people in front of you, all around you. I could be walking past them right now. They could be looking down or looking up. Why? Because no matter if it's drinking or if it's drugs, you feel like you were born into a family of thugs. I want to talk about a coach of mine. I'll end the story on this. Not the message, but the story. I had a coach, Coach Miller, a phenomenal man. Phenomenal man in high school. But because he has so loved minorities, he was a European descent coach, that he moved into Chicago. And he didn't want to be those type that we sometimes write about. And sometimes you do your thesis on them where they come and live way, way out in the suburb, but they go way, way down in the city and they think they're doing a really nice thing. But this particular coach says, no, you know what? I'm going to coach at this school, so I'm going to live in the neighborhood so I can be where the children are. I want to be what they are. I want to feel like I'm a part of them, and I want them to know who I am. And as a result of that situation, he lived in this kind of, apartment place or whatever, had a brand new wife. And somebody broke in on that. Somebody broke in on them, and she was there. And these very minorities that this inner city that he had moved into became the one that raped his wife and stole all of his stuff. And it would be very natural for anybody to feel a sense of bitterness and then a sense of giving up. It was very hard for him. It was very harsh for him. It was so harsh for him that he had to leave that community because his wife couldn't take it anymore. But he didn't just say, you know what, I'll forget it. Because deep down on the inside of him was a call of God, and he has a gift to bless people's lives. So that's when he moved to St. Louis, from Chicago to St. Louis. He went to our high school, and he very much so poured into every single teenager that he could, white, black, anyone, any sport. Sports he wasn't even good at, he would do everything he can. When we left, I know that they went to state championship every year. The point I'm trying to make is this. He could have chosen to just shut down and shut off and get stuck and say, I'm not going to do it. But he had a faith in Jesus Christ. I went to a Lutheran high school. He had a faith in Jesus Christ that said, you know what, I'm going to go beyond that. I'm going to be an overcomer. I'm not going to let what has happened to my experiences stop me. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to be a blessing. Thanks be to God, because I don't even know if I'd be here if it wasn't for him. You see, it was a district championship game, and we lost, and it was stilled in the room, in the locker room. We all had our hands down, and he couldn't say a word. He was so devastated why we lost the game, and nobody could say anything, all my best friends. You see, it was in that little circle that I learned, and I just started uttering the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven. And all of a sudden, spiritually, everybody in the circle joined in. After that was over, he turned to me and gave me a sense of affirmation as to say, that was the right thing to do. That was the right spiritual leadership move. You see, I don't know if that started at all or not. Maybe you can look back over your life and think about things. Are you stuck at? Are you still in pain? Have you just said, I'm not going to forgive? Are you so devastated and so hurt that you would rather live in a shadow of darkness and death than to be an overcomer and to enter into the light? in every area of our lives. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Help me. Thank you. Because what it says here is this. But take heart, I have what? Jesus says, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but don't be afraid, because what? I have what? You see, tribulation? That's all right. Take heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, take heart. Because Jesus overcomes. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, because everyone has the opportunity to overcome.
Amen.
Amen. I want you to pay attention to this message, because you're going to need to catch this. John chapter 20, verse 24 says this. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the hands that mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never what? How many understand there's sometimes things like that we've said? If this don't happen to me, I don't know if I'm going to believe God anymore. Well, you know what? I've been praying about this long enough, and God still hasn't taken it away from me. So now we subtly, we don't say, I'm not going to believe. We just start fading. Right? John chapter 20, verse 26 says, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Read all of the yellow part with me. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Everybody see that? Hallelujah. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have. We have never seen Jesus with our eyes, maybe in a vision or maybe in a spirit. But Jesus just called everybody in this room blessed, because we have not seen him, but yet we believe him. And I'm going to say, Thomas, he stumbled at believing him. But we who are in this room in the 21st century have never seen the Lord Jesus Christ with our own natural eyes. But I know he saved me, and I know he lifted me up, and I know I don't live in darkness any longer. I know Jesus is live. Hallelujah. In John 20, verse 30, it says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may what? Read it out loud.
Believe.
That Jesus is the Son of God, and that by
believe
you may have. All right, church, are you ready?
Yes.
Believe the Lamb. Have faith to overcome. Revelations chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, it says, then I saw in the right hand of him who seated on the throne of a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. Somebody say praise God. Come on, don't lose sight of this now. In this verse, though, based on what he just saw, John, the writer, based on what he just saw, would you not think that you're going to see a lion? Would you not think he said the lion was going to conquer? Wouldn't you be expecting, like in Narnia, to see Ashton or Ashlyn? Aslan, my fault. I got my dog's name, too. Aslan, wouldn't you be expecting to see a lion roaring, conquering, muscular, big old mane? No, 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 no. Pay attention to what John saw. Verse 6 says, and between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. Oh, I've invited you here for this next revelation. Here we see, this is in heaven. This is paradise, church. Please pay attention. No matter if you're a Christian, not Christian, understand the Bible or not. This is the end of the book. This is where everything is good. This is where you look and you say, oh my God, I'm going to heaven. Oh, this is great. This is the shiny street of gold. This is the pearly gates. This is where everything is perfect. It is called paradise. Are you with me? So I ask you the question, but the lamb was identified as slain. He had nail prints in his hands and feet. He was pierced in his side. But the question is, why? Why is he looking like this? And he is sitting in heaven on the right hand of the Father in heaven paradise. I would like to submit to you, and I've preached it before, I preach it again. I submit to us the scene of Thomas. Do you recall that Thomas says, hey, unless I put my fingers in the nail prints, unless I put, he didn't even say nail print. He said my hand up in your side, like he wants to grab a rib or something. I don't know what was going on. But Thomas says, I'm going to put my hand up in your pierced side. Huge, huge, huge. When Jesus comes into the room, he goes straight to Thomas and says to him, go ahead. Put your fingers inside. Now, anybody in the health industry, Haley is here. You don't put your fingers in something that could be all gushy and mushy and all kind of bacteria. And you haven't even touched and washed your hands. And you're going to put your hand in my side? No, you're not. Jesus gives us this identification that should be marked on the inside of you for the rest of your entire life. Jesus told him to put your fingers there, put your hand here, because though I have been slain, though I have been marked, though I've been pierced, though I've been nailed, though I had thorns on my head, I have the marks, but I don't have the pain. You've got to understand that Jesus Christ, he's the one that overcame the world. And he has holes in his hand. He has a piercing in his side. But my God, you put some hands there. It don't hurt me anymore. And that's what he wants for you, is that it should not be a pain in your hurt anymore. Come on, shout. Just come on. Come on. Come on. Stay seated, but just shout. Come on. Oh, amen to the Lamb. Amen to the Lamb. Amen to the Lamb. Amen to the Lamb. You don't have to hurt anymore. You don't have to be able to hold on to that anymore. I know they left you there. I know you kept sitting and waiting on them, and they never showed up. Oh! Is this ever going to be over? The Lamb has overcome. Gabe, the Lamb has overcome. I don't have this choice that I want to stay stuck, that I want to remain in pain. I don't think I should be carrying a heartache for 12 years because I'm unwilling to just say, I forgive you. Amen to the Lamb. Amen to the Lamb. He said, go ahead. Oh, I know I look a little rough. Oh, yeah, I know that I could be in heaven in paradise and I could have a whole new suit. Oh, I know I could have turned around and wiggled my mane and you would have thought I was so glorious. But worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Revelations 5:7 says, and he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. By your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and every language and every people and every nation. Nobody is left out. And you have made them a kingdom of priests. I used to be born poor, but my God, now I'm a priest. Maybe I used to smoke, but my God, now I pray unto God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels, numbering a myriad of myriads and thousands of thousands, were saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and all of them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. But please pay attention to verse 14. I told you we were going to start with amen, but I told you we were going to end with amen. And the very last verse of chapter 5 says this, and the four living creatures said amen, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped.